Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In Evan and Teak, you know we believe in holding ourselves accountable, so sometimes we'll play the old audio of things we got very wrong. But in this case, I'd like to play some old audio of things that we got right. So first of all, let's show some love to Thomas Jefferson Aloysius Lugauer, because last night at the very end of the Evan and Teak program, I flippantly said that the Brooklyn Nets would win their first game of the season against
the Nets still in the league
against the Atlanta Hawks. I was wrong about that. But I also wanted to see what everyone else thought. Take a listen specifically to what Tommy said about the Nets game.
Nets are getting their first win of the year tonight.
Okay.
You like that one?
Losing by 20.
Losing by 20?
Yes.
Okay. Tommy.
Remind me who the Nets are playing, as if it matters. And I'm leading into them, and we look forward to listening to it here on WFAN.
Your favorite player, Trae Young.
Oh, really? I'm going to say the Hawks win by 5.
Okay.
Oh.
How about that? For those that are not aware, which is 98% of the audience, final score last night, Hawks 117, Nets 112.
Yeah. Swag, right. Not Nets.
How about that? So, Tommy, congratulations.
Wish I bet it.
Well done, Tommy.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, so, I'm a Nets savant. What can I tell you?
He is. But Tommy isn't the only person who got something correct at the end of last night's show. I also went around the room and said, who will win game 5 of the World Series? And who's winning the World Series game 5? Real quick, Tiki.
15, Blue Jays.
Blue Jays?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, Sean.
Dodgers 8-1.
Tommy?
Dodgers 7-2.
Yeah, I'm with the other guys. I think the Dodgers are going up 3-2. Baseball savant, Tiki Barber.
See? Watch yourselves. Don't think I don't know nothing about no baseball.
I can't wait to find out who he thinks is going to win game 6 of
baseball
the World
Series. Very, very good to me.
Now, real quick, before we get back to your phone calls, 888-808-1019, the toll-free number. Back in August, I asked everyone to make predictions on who would win more games, the New York Jets or the New York Giants. And not to the surprise of anybody, I obviously work with a Giant legend, and I work with two Giant sycophants. So they all said the New York Giants. I said, hey, the Jets are going to win more games. I thought the Jets were going to win 7 or 8 games. The Giants are going to win 4 or 5 games. A few weeks into the season, when things were going really badly, and Jackson Dart made his debut, and it was successful, I conceded on the air to Sean. I said, you know what? You're right. The Giants are going to win more games than the Jets. I would like to announce today on October 30th, 2025, at the halfway point of this NFL season, I would like to rescind me giving up that bet.
Wow.
Because the more I analyze the Giants' schedule and the Jets' schedule, and the more I'm encouraged by the way the Jets beat the Bengals on last Sunday, 39-38, and the offense clicking, and the more I think about the Browns next weekend, and I think about even Atlanta and Miami at home, week 13, week 14, a game with the New Orleans Saints, and possibly a meaningless game against the Bills, week 18. We'll see where the season goes. And obviously the Giants, with the injuries, now Cam Scataboo on the heels of Malik Nabers a few weeks earlier, and Dexter Lawrence being called out by a legend. I got to tell you, Jets are winning more games than the New York Giants. I'm back
You are in such a dangerous place right now.
What does that mean?
You are riding the roller coaster. You are up and down dependent upon what happens with this team. Now, luckily, the Jets don't play this week.
Correct.
So you get a neutral, emotional weekend.
I get to put within a half a game of
right. No, you just get an emotionless weekend. Right. You're not going to be, yes, I believe. Oh, no, I don't believe. They suck. I hate them. Get rid of everybody. Fire. It doesn't matter who it is. Fire the grass keeper. You're riding a roller coaster, dude. You really are. Am up I, and down dependent upon what you see on a Sunday.
Am I really riding a roller coaster, or am I really believing that the Giants are not winning more than four or five games? Or four games, and that the Jets could find a way to squeeze out three or four more to edge this one out. So ask yourself this, Tiki, before I
still
answer
I still think the Giants win more.
Right, but do you think I'm really riding the wave of the Jets more than I am just looking at the Giants and wondering where the wins are coming from?
I have an
You know what I mean?
I have an important question to ask Evan to answer that.
Yes.
Okay, if you were to go up to each owner of our local New York football teams and say, do you have confidence that your quarterback can throw a forward pass? Do you think Woody Johnson thinks Justin Fields can?
Even after seeing it?
Yeah, I would say the owner of your team has more confidence than the owner of my team.
Then I think in a day and age where the forward pass is important, the Giants are still the end.
If we could just complete a pass, it would look good.
If you look at the Giants' remaining games, they are underdogs in every game they will play the rest of the season.
So what?
The New York Jets are favored in one game, and in three others, the line is a point and a half.
Okay.
So all I'm saying to you is that if you just look at, and of course, what do lines mean? I'm not saying it means everything, but just in terms of who the Jets are playing and where they are, the idea that they can't squeeze out three or four wins on their remaining schedule and that the Giants are no lock to win any games is not a crazy statement. Can we just at least acknowledge that before we continue this conversation?
I would acknowledge it from the Giants' standpoint. I think you're vastly overestimating because of what Vegas is about the Jets.
Stop, so stop right there. Do you acknowledge that it's possible the Giants don't win another game? Is that what you're saying?
Certainly.
Okay.
But so, it's also possible the Jets don't win another game.
Right. I would say this. If I think the Giants aren't winning another game, I would top off if the Jets are evening up with one more.
Do you think the Jets are losing next week to the Cleveland Browns?
I do.
Maybe not.
I think they're losing Shador's debut, yes.
Shador's debut. There's no evidence that's even going to happen.
Is there?
Well, how are you dealing with Miles Garrett?
Did you see the Jets' offensive line this past week?
Yeah, they
it's actually one of the strengths.
Miles Garrett is ridiculous.
I agree. I was actually about to say, like, as well as they've played, he is such a tough chore.
Right.
But I went to FanDuel just to see where they feel about this or how they feel about
this. About the line or about?
About the win totals for the rest of the season.
And?
I'm embarrassed. And I'm not embarrassed for me. I'm embarrassed for all of us. I just want to make that clear. The Jets over-under, as of right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook app, is 2.5.
This is total wins.
Total wins, including the one that they have. So they are saying that they will win 1.5 more games the rest of the season. Now, that's embarrassing. I admit that. Do you know what the giant number is?
3.5.
Actually, wait a second. I take this all back. I was reading it completely wrong. They give you a chance to bet the over-under on 2.5. Basically, the Jets are 3.5 is their sweet spot.
Oh, 2.5 going forward.
Yes.
I see. I got it.
The Giants are at about 4.5. Mm. So it's close is my point.
So basically it's the same.
It's basically the same.
They're basically giving each team the belief that they'll win 2.5 more games.
And remember, the Giants are only a game ahead of the Jets this discussion, so we're not like that far off. I don't have to make up that much ground.
I just thought of the sweetest thing in the world.
Go ahead.
Let it happen. Let the Jets be one spot ahead of the Giants, and the Giants get the Jets' next two first-round picks, and you guys can trade up with us. We could hold you over a bounty.
But by the way, that's totally fine.
Sign me up.
I'm not talking about what you prefer or draft picks or anything like that. Like, I totally get that. You're a tanker. So in your eyes, and to some Giant fans' eyes, what I'm saying may be like, yes, I hope you're right, Evan. So it's not about trash talk. I'm literally just trying to be fair about, over the rest of the season, who's going to win more games, and I think it's a competition. Because I do think that the Cleveland game, the Atlanta game, the New Orleans game, and the Miami game. And I'll stop right there. I know upsets happen in the NFL. All of those games feel very winnishable. Doesn't mean they will win that game. Doesn't mean they'd be favorite. But would you not agree, Teak, with the unknown status of the Dolphins moving forward? With the Saints?
I don't know. They look good last week.
Yeah, but do you think Mike McDaniel's coaching this team when the Jets face them again? Which,
they destroyed the Falcons. And so all of a sudden,
week 14.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I do think he lasts the season.
Okay, so you think that?
I think there's some. If Tua doesn't make mistakes, the Dolphins are pretty good offensively. They can score on you, but it's just a matter of can you coach Tua out of being
now? Well, hold on. You just accused me about 3 minutes ago of going week to week of emotions.
Without a doubt,
but well, what about the Dolphins got blown out by the Browns two weeks ago?
They are worse than the Jets, by the way.
Who?
The Dolphins.
So then, what are you saying to me?
Who did the Dolphins get blown out by?
Cleveland.
Another team you think the Jets are beating.
No, but don't conflate the two arguments. I'm merely saying to Tiki, when he said, hey, I think the Dolphins aren't that bad, 2 weeks ago they got blown out by the Cleveland Browns, I think we'd all agree are a bad team.
When Tua doesn't throw interceptions, the Dolphins are a very good team.
Okay.
It's fact.
And they did turn the ball over four times against Cleveland.
But when he's a turnover machine, they are going to get blown out. So, especially because a lot of those interceptions are going out. So they're either pick sixes or you set the team up for at least 3 points.
And in fairness to you, watch, I can argue both sides because I'm open-minded about this. The Jets are allergic to forcing turnovers.
That's right.
So them forcing a turnover onto it cannot happen.
Right.
I'm merely saying, and I don't think the Jets are winning all of those games. I'm going to make that clear.
Yeah.
That's what I don't think Sean understands about this argument. You become very tribalistic, like it's Jets versus Giants. No, I'm just having an open discussion about these win totals the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest about it. Like, there are more winnable games on the Jets' schedule than there are the Giants.
There's no doubt about that.
Thank you. That's all I'm saying.
The Jets have more winnable games, but the Giants, I feel like, are more suited to win games.
Because they have a quarterback that can magically do something win a game. I completely agree with you.
It's another thing you're not factoring into. Are Quinn Williams, Breece Hall, and company going to be here in another week?
My guess is yes.
I can't see the... Why would you trade Breece Hall? I get why the conversation is circling around him. By the way, Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Breece Hall has so much upside still left in his game. He's only 24 years old. This is his year 24 season. So even if you were being conservative, he's got 3-4 years before he's, you're at 28. You're washed up at 28. Like, seriously?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't think they're going to trade him.
And it
doesn't make sense, you're saying.
And I hear the injury prone thing. He tore his ACLs his freshman or his rookie season.
Mm-hmm.
Missed. He only played 2 games or 3 games, whatever it was, that year. Since then, he's been mostly healthy. And he gets a ton of carries and a ton of touches. I trust that he is going to figure out how to stay healthy. It's not that. It's just the impact that he has as a player. And coupled with that developing offensive line, it could be something special from a running back position. And if you see teams that have those guys, like Bijan Robinson in Atlanta, like Christian McCaffrey now in San Francisco, Saquon, except, like when you see a team that has like that dude, can you imagine any of them ever getting rid of him?
No.
Exactly.
No. And I think that it also, when you look at,
Taylor is going to win the MVP.
When you look at what you're going to get for him,
it's not worth it.
So it's a fair question because the deadline's a week away. Here's what I'll say to you. There are 9 games left in the season. And I'm going to think about this. I want everyone to play this game along with me. There are 9 games left in the season. three or four of them are winnishable games, and you never know, there could be an upset along the way.
Yeah.
How many of these nine games are the New York Jets going to win? My gut feeling, and I don't think what I'm about to say is homeristic, is they're going to get three more wins. That's 3-6. Mm. That's not exactly like carve your name into the Lombardi Trophy territory.
Right.
It's a bad football team that's going to manage it to win a couple of games after going 1-7 to start the year. So that gets them to four wins.
Mm-hmm.
So the question you got to ask yourself, whether you agree with me or disagree, is are the Giants a lock to clear that number? And the truth is, not really. They're probably going to be right at that number.
But I also feel like the Giants have the ability to win games they're not supposed to.
Maybe. More so than the Jets.
Right, yes.
Okay.
Just think about how the Giants won the two games that they won this
year. You're
right. They were games they weren't supposed to win.
So let me ask you this, because we've done this with the Giants. There are nine games left in the season. Cleveland, the Patriots, the Ravens, the Falcons, the Dolphins at home, Jacksonville and New Orleans on the road, the Patriots at home, mm-hmm. at Buffalo, which is a wild card because who knows what they're playing for. How many wins are the Jets going to get in their final nine games? Tiki Barber.
Four.
Thank you. I mean, four. So they're going to end up with five wins.
Yeah.
So you are right in line with the Jets winning this thing against the Giants.
No, because I think the Giants are going to win more than they lose.
Okay, fair enough. So you have the Jets going 4-5 in their last nine games.
Yes.
Which, by the way, would actually encourage me about Aaron Glenn. It would screw them up draft position-wise, but I'd be more happy about Glenn, to me, personally.
The only reason I say it screws you draft position-wise...
Well, it does. They're going to move up in the... They're not going to pick 1-2.
Because
you
lose being able to take your quarterback.
100%. Well, they're probably more in a position where they have to trade up, which I'm sure they would.
Right.
Kind of like they did with Sam.
And if you really want one, why not? Like, who cares?
I agree with you.
Give away your first round next year and whatever lower second or third round pick you want to give. Who cares?
And I agree with you, and I would actually argue this is why the tanking thing is never going to get to me. That winning games is going to be more important than a future pick.
For a first-year head coach, it absolutely is
100%.
100%.
I know you don't agree with me that, Sean. That's totally fine, but that's where I'm not going to get upset about
this. The last thing you want to do is be... Who was the Browns guy?
Hugh Jackson.
Mm-hmm. You don't ever want to be Hugh Jackson.
No, I agree with him.
Who you suck so bad, nobody believed in you, even if you kind of were okay.
So you got 4-5 in the last nine for the Jets. I have 3-6. What about you, Sean?
I think they're winning one more game the rest
1-8. That's fine.
Yeah.
1-8. What about you, Tommy?
Jets will go 2-7 in their final nine games.
2-7. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to save that and see how we do. But I think that... It is now we are in prime position for the Jets and Giants to finish with basically the same record.
That's where I think we're headed. You just need people screaming at Tanner Engstrand more.
Like who?
Like me.
Oh, like you? Well, then go do it for me.
Yeah. No, I did.
When did you scream at him?
On Monday.
Oh, that's right. You did.
Like, stop with the two-step drops.
You think he was listening?
I hope he was listening.
Listen.
It is obvious that Justin Fields is not comfortable standing right behind the line of scrimmage.
No.
Drop him back and let him look. Because then he can scramble easier, and he also was much more comfortable throwing balls across the middle, down the field, etc. He looked really good last week.
He's going to play well against the Browns. They're going to smoke the Cleveland Browns next Sunday. I'm telling you right now. And I'm going to try not to be like too pumped up. Like I'm not going to come in here and try to give you playoff scenarios.
Against the run.
No, listen, have you paid attention to what's going on with the Browns this week?
What's going on with the Browns this week?
So they're on their bye week.
By the way, they're actually good against the run. They're top 10 stopping the run. Mm. They're also horrible at running the football. They're 29th.
I don't even know who their running back is this year.
Judkins from Ole Miss, Ohio State.
As he's hurt because he's on my fantasy team and he screwed me last week.
So Shador Sanders is not pulling a Zach Wilson. He was asked to come home to Boulder, Colorado's homecoming.
Yeah.
He's not because he has said, quote, I have to get ready, quote, big ready. And all the people in Cleveland now think he's starting versus the Jets.
Oh, that'd be cool. That'd be fun. That'd be a lot of fun. That doesn't make me change my opinion that much on the game because it's still his NFL debut.
And he's a rookie.
Oh, yeah. You can't see Joe the next day at 4 o'clock if you lose to Shador Sanders. It has it written all over. We should have drafted this guy.
Well, there's two things, Sean.
Well, that's going to happen anyways.
I feel the same way. There's the emotional...
By the way, you really should have. The more the season goes on, you really should have.
I know, bro. I was telling it to you before he even dropped. They should have taken him in the first round.
Even if he's doing exactly what he's doing in Cleveland with the Jets, which is sitting behind... Justin Fields doing nothing, it would be worth it.
I remember weeks before the draft saying that to you, and I don't remember what you said, so I can't put it on you.
I said no because I thought you meant take him in the first round or take him in the second round. I was like, he's not, I don't know if he's that good.
Oh, I would have taken him in the first round.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, obviously, knowing he dropped as much as he did, yeah, you're right. Like, they could have waited as long as possible. Just to answer your point, Sean, there's two emotions as a Jet fan. I'll explain it to you. There's the raw, typical Jet reaction, which is exactly what you framed it as. Wouldn't it be typical? Here's Shador, debut.
Shadia Sanders.
Sticks it up on Kazoo. Like, you're right. Right now, on a Thursday, a week and a half before the game, this is rational 11. Like, I'm just talking ball.
I got you.
And talking ball, I wouldn't be scared of a rookie making his NFL debut on the road. But, yeah, like, when we get to Sunday morning,
right,
wouldn't it be typical Jets if the guy throws for 500 yards? Yes. And also, let's not forget Baker Mayfield made his NFL debut on a Thursday night when he replaced, was it Tyrod Taylor back in Cleveland?
Yeah.
When he replaced Tyrod Taylor against the Jets.
Right.
And they won that game, and it was just horrific. So,
and then he was on his way.
And then he was on his way. So remember, there are two emotions as a Jet fan. There's the realistic football take, and then there's the, can't you see this happening? There is one other thing that many noticed last night about Game 5 of the World Series, and that was the great Sandy Koufax was there. And he's there a lot. That is not an uncommon thing. But that he was in the second row. And he was sitting behind the prince and the queen, or the king, the princess.
The Markles.
The Markles, yes. I guess she's no longer a princess, and he's no longer a prince. Is that the way things work now?
Yeah, they traded them for Jaguar games.
Gotcha. Yeah. That seems like a fair trade. So Sandy Koufax, the legendary Sandy Koufax, was sitting in the second row. Mm-hmm. And that bothered a lot of people. And I have to tell you, I kind of agree with them.
Why?
It just feels dirty. He's Sandy Koufax. I don't know. Like, if you were at a Giants Super Bowl, and you were in a suite, but you're in the third row of the suite,
I'd be standing socializing anyways.
That's true. Yeah, you're not a good example of this.
I'm a horrible example.
I
never need preferential treatment.
No, I know you don't need it, and I'm sure Sandy doesn't need it either. He's a humble guy, but there just felt something dirty about it. You don't share that thought at all?
I didn't even notice, really. I mean, I did, but I didn't.
I get you.
It's kind of like, they're showing Sandy Koufax. Okay, he's there.
Second row.
He can see perfectly fine.
I know, but it's second row.
Oh, Evan, isn't Sandy Koufax a fraud? Shouldn't he be in the upper deck, front row, looking down? Mm. That's the best view in the house. Mr. Baseball, why is he sitting down there?
Because I had a very good seat for the game.
By the way, I'm taking my glove next time I go sit in your seats.
Damn right, baby.
Because I think you can catch a foul ball.
Oh, you can. Definitely. Oh, you absolutely can. I'd answer your question because Sandy would be mobbed. He's a 90-year-old man. It's also very difficult to get up there. And he'd be mobbed. I mean, he's Sandy Koufax. Like, I am not Sandy Koufax. I don't get mobbed at sporting events. So I think that would be the answer for why he's not in the upper deck.
And it would be unintentional mobbing.
What do you mean?
Because people would be like, I just have to say hi.
Yeah.
I have to go say hello. Like, I don't want any, I just have to say hello.
That's not fair to Sandy. He's 90 years old.
Overwhelmed.
Yeah, it's not fair.
People could not resist. Just because you, deferentially, you're going to want to say hello.
Absolutely. And remember this, even though my preferential way to watch a game is to be upstairs, most people do not feel that way. So I also can't plant that on Sandy Koufax. I'm sure he likes to be right near home plate because you do get better look at curveballs and splitters and sliders and the movement of the pitches. You miss that a little bit when you're upstairs.
I think that's all true, but still, it's the prince and princess. Give them what they want.
I feel like your new thing around here is to question everything I say by using something I feel against me.
I've noticed that.
I've noticed you've done that a lot lately.
I've noticed it to be a very pleasurable experience. Okay. You like holding people accountable, and I go, I don't need the sound. I got it all up here.
No, and that's fine. I'll have an answer for it. I mean, I'll always explain it. Sometimes it's convoluted and doesn't make sense. But other times, I'm more than happy to answer it for you.
I've heard a lot from the people in the public. You know, when you go, you know, you say, are you rude to people in public? I'm not. A lot of people come up to me and go, you know, you really got to start pushing Evan back on things. He thinks, you know, he could just play you three like puppets. And I said, you know what, you're right. So I've taken a conscious effort.
So the way to play it back on me is to question Sandy Koufax being in the second row and compare it to me wanting to be in the upper deck.
Look,
that feels like a lot of loose.
Former prince and princess.
Yeah. Not everything's going to be a home run, but I'm going to try some. I'm running some plays.
So act like you would love those seats, because you don't.
Well, not me. If they asked me that, I'd say, put me upstairs. Mm. I mean, if it was up to me.
I had a very good seat for the game.
Not Sandy Koufax.
Are the drinks free down there, too?
I think so. Mm. I mean, it's Dodger Stadium. You'd have to assume they go all out.
Right.
They even for an old stadium, they got like a moat there?
I'm sure they built one. Like, I'm sure at some point in the last 10 years, because the only way to keep up with the finances in terms of making money is to also add like these special features to seats so you can charge more. Now, I've never sat there at Dodger Stadium. I haven't sat anywhere close to there at Dodger Stadium. But I'm going to assume that those high-level seats where all those celebrities are, including Sandy Koufax, probably has a moat and probably has a club underneath the stadium.
Yeah, but aren't they giving those tickets for free?
I don't know about that. I think some of them are, yes. But I think a lot of them are
maybe paid for. We're looking at this the wrong way. You're knocking that the Prince and Princess got preferential treatment over Sandy Koufax. How about praising the Prince and Princess for not asking for a suite?
Why would I do that?
I had a very good seat for the game.
You don't need a suite at Dodger Stadium. It's beautiful out all the time.
But it's the Prince and Princess. They should be really tucked away in a suite. And they're like, you know what? No, we're at a baseball game. We're just in front row.
I also, to your point, though, don't think they're princesses and princesses anymore. Right. Aren't they just regular people?
Yeah. And what do they do?
It's a great question.
I'm honest. Like, what do they, like, they do
exist,
they do anything?
I think that's part of their...
How do they make money?
Great point. What is their income?
Because doesn't the queen get money from the citizens of...
Aren't they getting royalty checks? Oh, I stole a dad joke there from...
That's a good one.
Yes, that's good.
You know what? I almost missed it.
I almost missed it, too. I got to tell you, for someone who's never done the dad joke, this is your first one, that may have been the best
one. Why I had to explain it after. I'm like, solid. This is going to go through. No one's going to get it. Let me say it's a dad
joke. I thought you meant from the acting that Meghan Markle did.
No. Just like, bro, they're part of like a monarchy. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's like money everywhere. There's like gold under the couch.
You're cut off from the family, don't you not participate?
I don't know if you're cut off, though.
No, they were cut off. Like, there was a breakup between the royalty and them. Like, Sean was joking about the Jaguar games.
But they don't get like a severance package from that breakup?
She's an entrepreneur and media personality. So she's, she probably wrote a book.
What does that even mean?
She's got a lot of Instagram followers.
I'm an entrepreneur. Okay, what's your business?
Yeah, that sounds shady. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she was doing card games with Chauncey Billups.
They were definitely given the tickets, though.
Yes.
Sandy was given the tickets. You know who wasn't given the tickets, though? Mary Hart. Because Mary Hart isn't famous enough anymore to just be handed first row seats at Dodger Stadium. And I think she's just a loyal fan.
That's what I'm saying. She's legitimately, most likely, a fan.
Oh, yeah. No, she's there all the time. Like, I think even during the regular season, you'll see her there. Let's go to Nick in St. Augustine, Florida. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just to pick up on what you were saying earlier about the, walks compared to hitting the ball. And runs always come with contact. And when you put the ball in play like they did the other day in the seventh inning, you got a guy that got all the way to third base on a bloop to right field.
Right.
And I would like to know the stats on last year. What the Yankees did is hitting home runs against the Dodgers versus the Dodgers hitting home runs against the Yankees, because last year it seemed like the Dodgers were a lot more contact putting the ball in play. And it feels like it's the same thing this year with Toronto. And one of the biggest differences, Vlad Guerrero is eight home runs. Oh. He's not hitting singles, you know?
Nah, he's been unbelievable. So, I mean, he's playing the truest of superstars, yes.
Yeah, so their star is actually the one hitting most of their home runs, while the rest of the guys are contributing with contact. And I think those tack-on runs come with the contact, not with walks and not with...
So to give you your answer on last year's World Series, they played five games, obviously, the Yankees and the Dodgers. The Yankees hit 9 home runs in those five games. The Dodgers hit 7. So close. Yankees had the slight edge.
Right.
The Yankees
But it didn't matter because the Dodgers had control of that series for most of it.
Well, I mean, it mattered in game one when they hit the grand slam.
Yeah.
That home run mattered. team batting average, though? The Yankees hit .212. The Dodgers hit .206. So
Did they really?
Yes.
It didn't feel like it.
No. It's the reality. I mean, the Yankees haven't beaten most statistics. Now, as far as strikeouts are concerned, in fairness, the Yankees did.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers,
The podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Strike out 10 more times on the Dodgers.
Well, I also think the history, the fact that that game, that series ended the way that it did, makes you forget that the Yankees had a chance to win almost every game.
Well, and that is a great point about that series, because it is forgotten about.
Yeah.
Game one was theirs.
Yes.
And we will remember that. But even game two, mm-hmm. it was a relatively close game. They gave up a bunch of runs in the third inning, and that basically did them in, Carlos Rodon. And they lost a close game. Game three was also a very close game, the one at Yankee Stadium that they lost. And so, I mean, you're right. Like, yeah, all the games were close. Now, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, the Astros-White Sox World Series from 2005 was very close. It was a sweep. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And all these years later, I'm probably the only one that remembers those games were close. If you remember anything about that World Series, you'd probably say, the White Sox swept the Astros. Does it matter? What are you confused by?
I'm trying to remember that series.
You're confused by the Astros playing the White Sox.
Yes.
Like, what is that?
Right.
So they were in the National
League. I don't even remember that that series.
Yeah, that was a very...
Obviously, I was still playing, so I was in the middle of a season.
Right, that's true. Why would you even know about that?
Because, I mean, we still paid attention to stuff like that.
A
couple of those years we tried playing fantasy baseball, it was impossible. That's when I swore off fantasy baseball until I met you.
Yeah, now you're in it.
All right.
I think that that World Series is remembered only for the fact that the White Sox finally broke their curse.
Right.
Because they, you know, the Cubs broke their curse, a lot of attention. Red Sox broke their curse. A year after the Red Sox broke their curse, here are the Chicago White Sox winning the World Series.
Right.
And their streak was the exact same distance. It's actually 2 years longer.
Was it really?
Yeah, 1917 was their last World Series. The Red Sox won in 1918, and then they both broke their curses 04-05. But no one remembers that World Series.
If you would have asked me if they were in the World Series, I'd have said no.
The White Sox?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
I would have said no.
It feels long ago now. Let's go to Mike in Connecticut. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, man?
Thank you. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to get your thoughts on this idea, right? So you guys have been talking Ohtani, you know, if he gets used in Game 7 coming out of the bullpen. What are your thoughts on him? And I apologize if you already discussed this. What are your thoughts on him possibly being an opener for Game 7, maybe pitching two or three quality innings? And then, you know, Glasnow didn't exactly light the world on fire with his start, and he lines up to be the Game 7 starter. So just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
We have not talked about it, and I have to tell you, I kind of love it.
Yeah.
Because what we talked about yesterday is that, so remember how in the World Baseball Classic, Shohei Ohtani pitched out of the bullpen and got the save for Team Japan?
Yeah.
Struck out Mike Trout. We all kind of remember that. If Ohtani had given up a run or two runs and the game went extra innings, Ohtani was either going to have to continue to pitch, go play a position, or come out of the game.
Right, and that's the conversation we had at the end of the show yesterday.
Which is, could they use Ohtani as a closer, but what if the game got blown or they don't use him as a closer? How does he stay in the game if he's not pitching? And the answer is he can't unless he goes to a position. We went through the rule book to see the new Ohtani rule. It only protects him as a starter, where he can start the game and remain in as a DH like he does whenever he starts.
As soon as he leaves the game, he stays in as the DH.
Right.
So if he goes in, if he starts the game as a starter.
Yes. It works fine.
But aren't you then incentivized to just run him as long as he can?
Yes. And you would be doing that on 3 days rest, which he's never done before. So the risk is, if you use him as an opener, he could get tattooed in the first inning and it's too little too late. As opposed to just trusting Tyler Glasnow, who, while he hasn't made a lot of starts, when he's pitched relatively well. But you do get to steal an inning or two from Ohtani and keep his bat in the lineup.
Yeah, I don't love that.
I'm intrigued by it.
I still prefer the closer thing.
But there's a risk if the game continues.
And you have a closer, so it's like the redundancy is not necessary.
I was thinking,
whereas if you start him, if you have him as an opener, it's a way to game the system.
I was thinking about all the Game 7s in World Series history that we remember, right? And you could actually count them on a hand and a half, because there aren't that many. There's been 40 Game 7s of all time. And if you just look at our lifetime, it's off the top of my head like 6 or 7. You know, 91, I was a little bit too young for, but 1997, mm-hmm. 2001, 2002, 2011, 2014, 2016, 2019. I think I nailed them all. I think those are your game sevens, right?
Fried shrimp, grilled shrimp.
I don't get that. Was that Forrest Gump reference?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay. See,
that's what you sounded like. You just kept naming the shrimp.
I was just trying to remember the years. What would make this game seven on Saturday night, if we get it, pass any of those? Because there's a few that are tough to pass. Like the Diamondback Yankee one of 01 is impossible to pass. Even Cubs Indians from 2016. And the way to surpass it is for Ohtani to come out of the bullpen, the game to go to extra innings, and for Ohtani to go play the outfield.
Oh, well.
And for Ohtani to make a diving catch. I mean, like, that would be, that could pass everything. Am I wrong?
I think he would also have to be the hero of game six.
Ohtani?
Yeah.
I'm just talking, though, about game seven.
Oh, no. Actually, what would pass it is you're thinking the wrong way.
Go ahead.
He does go to the outfield. Everything plays out. He has the Aaron Judge drop. and that's how the Blue Jays win the World Series.
He wouldn't get crushed, though.
He wouldn't, but we'd all be going, did they overthink this by putting him in the place he hadn't played in all year?
I think if we can get Ohtani in a pitching and then, dare I say, position role in an extra inning game seven, we could somehow have the greatest moment in baseball history. Because it is really tough in just our lifetime to pass 01 and 2016. Those are the holy grails. Would you agree?
Definitely.
And by the way, 97 was amazing, too. I think the problem with 97 is it's the Marlins, and it's tough. But that was a classic.
And they did beat the Indians.
They did beat the... You know what? I got to include 97, the more I think about it.
That was great.
That was an extra inning game seven.
That was the very first baseball game I watched with no baseball during the pandemic.
What?
So you know you had no sports?
That was in 97.
No. Come on, doofus. You remember the world we lived in?
Oh, God.
In the pandemic, we got to, like, you know, you would rewatch games and, like, networks put on games. They put that game on Fox, like, on opening weekend.
Right.
And I remember sitting there and I watched the entire game and it was a classic.
Oh, I got you. It was a classic. Think about this. There have only been five game sevens that went to extra innings of a World Series. Five. If we get that and we get to number six and we get something kooky to end it, then maybe we can have, like, the greatest moment in World Series history. That would be the only way. There have only been four walk-offs in extra innings in a World Series Game 7. So if we can get to that, that would be pretty amazing. In fact, there have been six walk-offs in a Game 7 of the World Series. Six of them. Can you name them? Probably.
No.
No.
No? Okay. No. Yeah, you don't want me to go through it, do you?
Marlins, Diamondbacks.
Marlins, Diamondbacks are two, absolutely. There's one that you got to say.
The David Freeze?
No, that wasn't a game. That was game six. No.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, there's one you got to say. Maybe the biggest moment in baseball history. It's before our time, in fairness. Bill
Mazeroski.
Okay. It's game seven. Walk-off home run.
Could have told me it was game four, I would have thought.
Come on now. Let's go to Victor and Hazlitt. What's up, Victor?
What's going on, guys? It's just real funny. I just want to say something real quick. While you guys were talking about Harry and Meghan, the king literally, like, stripped him of his prince title.
Oh, it just happened? Like, they literally did it?
Yes, it literally just happened.
Wow. Hello. Read about this right now.
By the way, Yankee fan watching most of the World Series, I've never seen a team hitting approach like these freaking Blue Jays, man. They're insane.
Yeah, I think we're overrating it. I gotta be honest with you. Like, I respect what he's saying because I know a lot of people feel that way. They make a lot of contact, and they do, not denying that. But the real crux of how they're here is that they're also just hitting a lot of home runs, which we downplay because when the Yankees do it, we say that's not the right way to win. But the reality is they are hitting a lot of home runs, which is a part of why they're on the brink of a world championship. Nick is calling from Queens. Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys, I had a follow-up from what you guys were talking about before. It was the Don Mattingly thing.
Yes.
And also a little bit of a football side note. But yeah. Don Mattingly, when the Blue Jays win this, like all the players and the coaches, they're going to be hot commodities. Why don't the Mets and Yankees get into a bidding war over Don Mattingly? Just saying they might, because he is a great coach for them to add because he has New York experience. He's a big personality. He's a top player, which both teams have. And then the other thing with the football, you guys are like, you got a great sound up with Woody and his little comment to Justin Fields, how he can't throw.
Go ahead.
with that, isn't that like Woody going full Steinbrenner, you know, like, and kind of didn't it work?
I mean,
need a little bit more of that?
Woody is kind of like the bad version of George Steinbrenner. Like, he says things that are on his mind, but it comes across very sloppy. I don't think George was necessarily as sloppy. And there's no winning involved. Now, there was a time where the Yankees weren't winning, and George was actually not loved in this town. But other than saying things that maybe you shouldn't say, that's where the comparisons stop. Now, if Justin Fields is sparked into playing the best football of his career for more than one game, it is very possible, and I would say likely, that we're going to look back at these Woody Johnson comments and think about it as the turning point, which would be great. I mean, whatever happens that works for the Jets, I think we'd all take it. But it's tough to view Woody Johnson in any kind of positive light. In terms of Don Mattingly, I do not know his contract. He's the bench coach for the Toronto Blue Jays. Does his contract run out at the end of the season? Obviously, the Mets have coaching openings. The Yankees, not necessarily as much. But right. I don't think the Mets or the Yankees are going to view Don Mattingly as a hot commodity just because the Toronto Blue Jays may win the World Series.
Or, I mean, they could simply because he's Don Mattingly.
Right, but the Yankees could have hired this man back 15 different times.
No, that's true. By the way, it was not Prince Harry that was stripped of his title. It was Prince Andrew who was stripped of his title.
Isn't that the guy who's connected to the bad stuff?
He is the king's brother. He is being forced to move out of the royal lodge where he currently lives. He'll go now to the royal estate in Sandringham, Norfolk.
Oh, he gets to go somewhere else that's royal.
Somewhere else that's royal.
Why did he get kicked out again?
He got kicked out because posthumously Virginia Guffrey wrote an allegation.
Oh, he's on the Epstein list, right?
That he had sex with this teenage girl
when
she was a teenager.
Yeah.
On multiple occasions. He has denied that, but he was also tied to the Jeffrey Epstein island.
Yeah, that's a little different than the other prince that we're talking
Prince
about.
Harry and Meghan Markle.
Harry, get your fat ass out of the couch.
One thing I've learned is I love our callers and I love our listeners, and you guys are great people. But sometimes you call in and you say stuff that's not true. And I want to give you the benefit of the doubt, but we have to fact check you.
Yes.
Now, luckily, Tiki was able to do that. Even yesterday, we had an older gentleman call us towards the end of the show, and he was so definitive about it. He's like, Evan, you got the Ohtani rule wrong. And then I was like, oh, maybe you're right. I think I know it. And then we did our research, and we're like, no, you're wrong. So when you call up WFAN, just try to be careful. Just like we'll try to be careful.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.